Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be glad you did.
Mike Tomlin makes us happy here at After Hours, but you know what? Jay and I have just suffered a major disappointment. Jay, how did this happen? So Jay and I share snacks. That's kind of what we do around here. Earlier, I shared my popcorn with him. I mean, that was quite a sacrifice. Extra movie theater butter popcorn. He got the first two handfuls of it. Not that I stuck my hand in it, but I poured it out of the bag and onto a plate, and Jay got the first and the hottest and the freshest popcorn.
The freshest pop, yes. Thank you.
I ate the rest. But yes, you did get a full plate, and it was delicious, and I even gave you extra salt. So Jay and I share snacks. Earlier this week, I brought in some leftover oatmeal apricot bars because I had made them last weekend for Tanglewood and my friends at Tanglewood. And so you had an oatmeal apricot bar. I know you anticipated having more, but I then gave the rest out to other people here at the network and in the newsroom. But we share, and we share alike. And a couple nights a week, Jay brings in little bags of chips. Because is this your mom who goes to BJ's and gets the bulk chips bags?
I got those from BJ's.
Oh, okay, but fine. You got them this time. Good for you. I'm glad Jay was doing his own shopping. So he brings them in a couple of nights a week. And this time it happens to be Sun Chips. And we have the garden salsa. We have the regular. We've got the harvest cheddar. We get very excited. They're mini bags of Sun Chips. They're just a handful of ounces. Let me see how many ounces. Yeah, I mean, they're not even 2 ounces. So they're small bags of Sun Chips. We get very excited. We split the bag. It's a nice little treat in the middle of the show, except Jay opens up the bag. He brings it in just a few minutes ago during the break, and we both make a face after eating a couple chips. Jay, what is wrong with these chips?
They're terrible.
They are.
I don't know what happened. Because they're from the same exact box that I've been getting all the other ones from, and they're not expired at all. So I don't know why they're so horrible.
Like,
they're stale, but they're like
really stale.
Yeah, really stale. I just opened them, unless they had some sort of hole in them. I don't know.
I'm investigating.
That I didn't see.
Are you sure that you just opened them 10 minutes ago?
Yeah, I just opened them.
Huh.
I think.
Something has to be.
Who makes Sun Chips?
Wrong. I don't know.
Should we send? I sent a strongly worded email.
No, it happens every now and then. Have you ever noticed, or maybe it's never happened to you, but it's happened to me every now and then. Have you noticed? Because I eat a lot of cereal. You open up a box of cereal, and you can get a stale box.
No, I would be devastated.
Yeah, no, it is devastating. But it's hard to then turn around and go back to the store and take it. Like, here, these were stale. So it does, a lot of times I'll keep eating them until I just can't stand it anymore, and then I'll stop eating them. But yeah, it's unfortunate because you and I were very excited about eating our Harvest Cheddar Sun Chips as we usher in a Friday.
Of course.
And instead,
it's actually a bad taste in my mouth right now. I'm not going to lie.
Well, drink the Dr. Pepper.
Got that.
We also have Dr. Pepper Zero Sugar. It's another last show of the work week treat.
I'm a little upset with Sun Chips, though, not going to lie.
I know. Well, did you bring two?
I only have the one. Because it's never been a thing. I don't know. We have the bag of Sun Chips. I got it. Like I said, it's not like it's, I didn't go rogue.
What about the Miss Vickies?
I can get the Miss Vickies. I've been having those a lot lately, but you can get in there.
Nah, I already had most of a bag of popcorn. I probably don't need more. But I was really excited about supplementing our snacks tonight with a few Harvest Cheddar Sun Chips.
I have some like chocolate things.
Some chocolate things.
Yeah, the pandas.
I'm in training. I'm in training for a half marathon, so you know what that means, right? You know the rule, the house rule when I'm training for a half marathon.
I haven't offered any candy or anything in a while.
No candy. I'm hardly even eating chocolate right now, which is a big thing for me. I only eat chocolate or a treat after I train.
I think these are relatively healthy. It's a tough life.
That's not how you're supposed to live in the summertime. You're supposed to be able to eat ice cream whenever you want.
When's the last time you had ice cream?
Oh, well, when I was in Houston, Bob and I had ice cream 3 nights in a row.
Oh, that's good.
But to be fair, we also were exercising. Remember those Saturday morning, we got up and I went running in the 1,000% humidity in my mom's neighborhood. So we did exercise. We swam a lot. So yeah, we earned our ice cream, but 3 nights in a row. And it wasn't just the ice cream. It was also dulce de leche. Dulce de leche. I think it was a caramel. It was a sauce that you put over it. And then we put chocolate chips on top of that.
Nice. I mean, you got it.
Chocolate chips one day, mini M&Ms a couple days.
Oh, that's my personal favorite. Soft serve vanilla with mini M&Ms. Yeah.
So it was vanilla ice cream with a dulce de leche caramel sauce. And then on top of that, the chocolate chips or the mini M&Ms. So yeah, I've had some ice cream this summer, okay? But it's summertime. You're supposed to eat ice cream. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
Does an ice cream man come around your block ever anymore?
Oh, absolutely. All the time.
Yeah?
In fact, the truck is now parked. It's a purple truck. You can't miss it. It's an eyesore in the neighborhood. It's now parked around the corner. So it's just a half a block down and around the corner. And Penny and I walk by it every morning. So apparently the ice cream man sleeps. Who knew? We walk by it every morning at the end of our walk. And there it is, the big purple ice cream truck parked in the street.
I'm jealous because my guy doesn't come anymore. I don't know why. I haven't seen him all summer.
Maybe because there are no kids in your neighborhood?
There are, though. There's a good amount of kids in, like, the area. So last summer, at the beginning of the summer, he came, and I actually did get it once, and I gave him, like, a $2 tip or something, and he was like, oh, thank you so much. And he kept coming for, like, a month after that, every day.
Was it an older guy or a younger guy?
Middle age, I'd say. Not older, not younger. But, yeah, I gave him, like,
middle
a little tip,
road.
And he kept coming. And this year, haven't seen him.
Maybe that's why. He figured the tips have run dry there.
I'll give him a tip if he comes by. I mean, I just want some ice cream. It was Mr. Softy. It's good stuff.
Mm. I've actually not purchased ice cream or anything else from an ice cream truck since I was preteen. But that's impressive, Jay.
It was last summer, and I heard him coming, and I was like, you know what? I'm getting some ice cream. And I gave him, I was like, yeah.
Was there anybody else there that was over the age of 9?
It was literally just me on my front lawn. I heard him. I was like, I am getting ice cream. And he came by and I stopped him and I got some ice cream. And I gave him a tip. And he's like, oh, thank you. Thank you. Like he's never received like a dollar tip ever. He was so happy. And he just kept coming back. I don't know. I always all right.
Jay does still have that man child living inside.
It's ice cream.
It is, but it's an ice cream truck, which is, you know.
Makes it better.
Oh, does it?
Can't get soft serve at the supermarket.
You can get it at Dairy Queen or any type of an ice cream shop.
It's not the same.
All right. It's better from a truck. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Actually, speaking of treats and goodies, before football season, Jay and I were finally going to place our big candy order for the fall. Now, I can't eat any until after the half marathon, which is week 3 of the NFL season, I think. So I've got to wait until we get through week 3 of the NFL season. But we need to have some candies, and I'll make some cookies. We'll have them ready for kickoff because it's long hours, so we deserve our treats. We earn our treats, so we'll have to do that. We've got a gift card that was bestowed upon us from Bob, going back actually to when Bob and I first started dating, and we've been saving it for a special occasion. So football is now a special occasion. Oh my gosh, Jay. I had a brief conversation with Bob about how my schedule changes once we get to football. And I essentially told him we can really only talk 3 days a week tops.
I mean,
isn't that terrible? I feel bad. He's not looking forward to it actually. But, I mean, I can't talk during Monday Night Football. I can't talk during Thursday Night Football. I definitely can't talk on Sundays. Saturday is college football, and he's a huge college football fan, so I'm assuming he doesn't want to talk on Saturdays. So we're essentially limited to Friday nights, which is our date night usually, Wednesdays, which is kind of a safe space, and then Tuesdays, except you know what you and I are on Tuesdays? We're zombies.
Well, yeah.
We're zombies during the NFL season because we come off of that Sunday into Monday, which is a 16-hour workday. And then Monday's insane because it's news and it's catch-up and it's all the press conferences and then there's another game. By the time we get to Tuesday, neither Jay and I can form a coherent thought, really. Tuesday is kind of like our Friday during football season.
It's a lot. Yeah, that Sunday night, Monday night, yeah, those. Mm. Yeah.
We love them. They're great for business, but not great for being social. So, yeah, I essentially
can't plan anything in those times.
This might be the end of our beautiful relationship. Not you and I, of course, because we've weathered many things. But Bob and I, we may only be talking twice a week for the length of football season.
Wednesday, we're going to have the Kelsey's soon.
Oh, that's right. I mean, Bob is going to have to take a backseat to the New Heights podcast. Sorry, babe. I'm busy listening to the New Heights podcast. Oh, no. I don't think he signed up for this. This could be the end. This could be the beginning of the end. Football preseason, it could be the beginning of the end of Bob.
Who the f*** is that guy?
Oh, no. Oh, I really hope he doesn't catch this segment on Friday morning. Thanks, Jay. Thanks a lot.
Travis said
I really appreciate that you're helping me out in this regard. You're supposed to be positive influence. Instead, you're a bad influence on me. I don't want to sacrifice my relationship because of football. There's a definite possibility could fall by the wayside.
Is before the game Monday night an option? Probably not.
I mean, think about what we normally do on Mondays. All we do is catch up with everything that happened post NFL Sunday.
Not to mention have to sleep because we're up for the entire lead of the day on Sundays usually.
Yeah, it's 16 hours in a row. I don't know. I think we're going to have to go a Wednesday, Friday. That's going to be really it. That's all. That's my availability. I'll slot you in Wednesday and I'll slot you in Friday.
I can see you on Wednesday. Let me check my schedule.
Oh, no. And then October with the baseball playoffs.
The Equinox.
Oh, for heaven's sakes. Yeah. I'm trying to think the longest we've gone without talking since we first started dating. 3 days tops.
You can get some like scheduled text in there, maybe.
Some scheduled text. I'm actually sleeping, but the text.
Set it for like, you know, 1 p.m. Or
this is what it's come to.
Thinking of you.
I pre-schedule my texts, wait, should I tell him that or not tell him that?
No.
Oh, so he doesn't know they're previously scheduled,
right?
And that they're going automatically. Well, he does now, if he's listening. Good morning, Bob. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Okay, one more thing that has nothing to do with sports. Well, it kind of has to do with sports. Jay is going to tell you the cold, hard truth, because I'm not exaggerating. When I did the Zoom call with Syracuse grad students on Thursday evening, it was essentially to tell them about the class that I'll be teaching this year again, but it was also to share with them my career in the business, which did include the grad degree, my master's degree at CUSE. Apparently, there was someone who was sitting in the back, probably a faculty member, who was taking photos of me on the big screen. Jay's trying so hard to be nice, but it's impossible. So the photo, now I didn't see it because I wasn't on Twitter during my Zoom call. But after the fact, I see that someone has tweeted, hey, we're happy to have A-Law Radio here to speak to us, blah, 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 blah. Jay, the photo is hideous. I cannot retweet it. I can't share it. I'm on the verge of asking the Syracuse faculty to take the tweet down. It makes me look like Jar Jar Binks. You're laughing because you know it's true. I'm not telling people where to find it. But what if prospective students, because they're following this Twitter account, the Syracuse Newhouse School Twitter account, what if they go and they see it and they think, what the hell? I am not sitting in a class listening to her or watching her, but you know a picture is a snapshot. And for some reason, first of all, my eyes are closed. Second of all, my face is scrunched up. Third of all, my lips are in what is essentially a platypus formation. I look like Jar Jar Binks. It's a very unflattering picture. No, admit that it's an unflattering picture.
No.
Jay,
it's not my favorite picture that I've seen you in.
All right, you're being diplomatic. Just tell the truth. If we're real friends, you're just going to tell the truth. I've said it first. It's okay. Just go ahead and tell the truth about how bad the picture is.
It's not the best picture. It's not your fault, though, which is why You know, because if someone took that photo, whoever took that photo, like, clearly could have just taken
another one
and been like, oh, she, like, you know, I caught it in a bad snapshot time.
I look like I'm crying.
Your eyes aren't open.
Right, like, my eyes are closed.
Because you weren't, you know, you weren't posing for a photo.
No.
It was just a,
my face is scrunched up. My eyes are closed. And my lips are, again, they're smashed together like a platypus. And it looks like I'm crying. That's what it looks like. Why would you ever take a class from someone who looks like she's crying? And I'm ugly. I look ugly. That's the thing.
No.
Jay.
It's like, it's kind of, there's like this weird ambiance around like you in that photo. Like I said, it was kind of like, it was like,
it's
Princess
a blue,
Leia
it's
vibes.
A blue light. Yeah, it's a blue light. Whoever took the photo, their camera clearly, unless that is what I looked like on the screen, their camera clearly changed the lighting. I was on a Zoom call, so it's obviously not optimal. But at the same time, why would you share that photo? It must be someone who's trying to sabotage me, who actually wants to teach my class instead.
Ooh, you think?
Right. Do you think I'm going to run prospective students out of the building with that awful photo?
The thing is, it's a really cool photo if the person just like reshot it a half a second later, mm-hmm. where you were eyes were open.
It's from the back of the room where I'm up on a big screen and there are students between me and...
Like, it's cool.
Right.
It's a good shot.
It's a neat perspective, but not with that photo. So here's what people are going to say. I'm just going to have to learn to accept it. People are going to maybe be scared away by the photo and not take my class, or they're going to say, well, it's a good thing she chose the profession that she did because she has a face for radio.
No,
yes.
Won't say that.
You know that's true. You saw the photo and you tried not to laugh, but you couldn't help it.
Well,
you saw
set it.
I look like Jar Jar Binks.
How much was I laughing?
I did.
At that?
I look like Jar Jar Binks. And I've got it's a scrunched up, I'm about to break into tears face looking like Jar Jar Binks.
Do you think this could be good for people signing up for the class? If anyone scrolls by and goes, oh, even they say, what is that? Who is that? I need to see more about this. And they check out the class and they log in. Hmm. And there you go.
Or they think that is the ugliest person I've ever seen in my life. And I'm definitely not taking that class.
I don't know. I see it the other way.
No, you don't, Jay. You're just you're trying too hard right now. Just admit
I'm
it.
I'm telling you.
The photo was extremely unflattering. And now it's out there on the interwebs for all the world to see.
And you're tagged in it?
I am tagged in it. Can I untag myself?
Can you? I don't know.
I don't think I can. Not on Twitter. On Facebook, you can untag yourself, but I don't think you can remove your Twitter handle from... Now's a good time to jump to Threads. Let's go. Wait, is Threads still operating?
I don't know.
Can we Google it? Is Threads still a thing? Anybody out there know if Threads is still alive or if it's already spit the bit?
Has anyone posted a thread?
I just saw this headline one day ago. Meta's Threads is already unraveling. Ha, ha, ha. And then another one. Threads is getting some useful new features. Aiming to boost retention, Threads now hooks into Instagram DMs.
So it looks like they fell drastically.
Yeah. Do you know how for 3 days, that's all anybody talked about? It was going to be the end of Twitter. Threads was the new thing. 100 million subscribers. And then crickets. It just went silent.
Yeah. I really, honestly, at the beginning, thought that Threads was going to threaten Twitter. Like, for real.
Threads was going to threaten Twitter?
I did. I mean, everyone was going to. It seemed everyone was posting that link on their Twitter and find me on Threads. If you need me here, I figured everyone was going to start doing it, but apparently it was that bad. I never even really checked it out.
Mm. Okay.
Got a chance.
Final thought before we take our break, and then we'll get to some of the baseball happenings like the Orioles and the Astros. We did talk about Clayton Kershaw's return. Also, the Phillies have good news and bad news. What was worse? This is rapid fire. It's your version of rapid fire, Jay. Ready? What's worse? Are stale Sun Chips or my photo on Twitter?
Stale Sun Chips.
I mean, you're just being nice now.
How much faster can I say it? That was devastating. I wanted those. We wanted those.
It was devastating to see my photo look like that on social media. Jay, you're not the one who people Google and these photos pop up. That's hideous.
It's a
good thing I already have a boyfriend.
Can you like email them and say, hey, Can we put, like,
can we please take that down? Can we please get rid of that photo? Please delete it. Actually, you know what? The woman who's in charge of the sports department, she is my friend. So if I explain to her that it's really unflattering, I bet she'll take it down. Also, I just got this tweet. Where can we see the photo, Amy? The photo can't be that bad. Oh, yes, it can. Jay, just tell him. Tell him not to look for it. Chris would like to know where to find it. Don't you dare. Don't you out me.
I won't say where it is.
Okay, good. Don't do it. Got to protect my unflattering identity. Where is my right to veto? You know, I tell you, you're not allowed to put photos on social media unless I approve them. This is why. This is why.
Get it.
Because now that photo is out there and I can do nothing about it. I look like a platypus and Jar Jar Binks. A cross between a crying Jar Jar and a platypus.
Everyone likes Jar Jar Binks, though.
Actually, a lot of people hate Jar Jar Binks.
Hates Jar Jar
Binks. Don't lie.
Attention, sports fans. Your favorite sports book, BetUS.com, is back for our 29th year of football action. With the industry's biggest sign-up bonus of up to 200%, BetUS offers our members the opportunity to cash in on all your favorite leagues, including NFL, NBA, MLB, and more. We've also got hundreds of new casino games, including the coolest slots, and our live dealers are waiting for you at the table. Sign up at BetUS.com or call 1-800-79 BetUS and get into the action. BetUS, where the game begins.
Trying so hard. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
The strike, right-hander deals, breaking ball, hit pretty well, deep center field. Center fielder racing back, looking up, and it is gone. Adley Rutschman just right at the 398 marker, puts it into the seats, right next to Mr. Splash out there. Pitch, this is driven, deep left field, racing back, and it is gone. Mounty goes yard. Ryan Mountcastle with that base hit extends the hit streak to 12 games, the on-base streak to 17, and a big two-run shot puts the Birds up 5-2.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
On Orioles Radio, the 71st win of the season for the Birds, and they avoid the sweep at the hands of the Astros, which was huge. Here's the number that jumped out at me, 3-for-3 with runners in scoring position. Man, anytime you can bat 1,000 with ducks on the pond, runners in scoring position, well, it's humongous. And, of course, big for them to not get swept by a team that, of course, is a contender not just to make the playoffs. Right now the Astros are in the wild card mix if they don't win the AL West, but also as defending World Series champions, they are a tough out.
First one was a really tough loss, and one we haven't had very many of this year. Those things are going to happen, and we didn't play our best game yesterday, but I thought we made some mistakes today. We kind of covered for them a little bit. We ran into some outs a little bit. We screwed up a PFP play to have the bottom of the order of the ninth inning. But I'm proud of our club. We do fight. They battle. They scrap. And they're pulling for each other.
Yeah, remember, the Astros beat them on a walk-off grand slam by Kyle Tucker. That happened in the opener. And then the second game, what, they score 4 runs in the eighth inning or something like that? I can't remember exactly what the number was, but they had a big eighth inning that then put them ahead. And Felix Bautista, he ended up with a blown save. But in this one, even though, now this was a bit excruciating, he does allow a run in the ninth. He walks 2 guys and he gives up 2 hits to the Astros, but ultimately is able to earn his 31st save.
That's a playoff team over there. So for not only for him to bounce back today, but also to kind of go through it again and find a way to come out on top today, he did an excellent job.
That's the catcher, James McCann of the Orioles. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. You knew this was going to happen. Someone posed the question to Dusty Baker, well, is this a possible playoff matchup? As if he would know that. How is he supposed to know that?
They're leading their division, and we're in second. We both have tough roads ahead of us. It's a little bit early to talk about previews. We got a lot of work to do in the meantime.
Yeah, well, the spread is about the same. Orioles lead the Rays by 3 games in the AL East, while the Rangers, who were off, they were off last night, yes. The Rangers are up on the Astros by 2.5 games. The Mariners, by the way, are creeping on the Astros. They are the hottest team in baseball right now. They did not play last night, but they have won 7 in a row. They've won 9 of their last 10. They're 10 games above 500. And even as the Seahawks get back on the field and start their preseason, what people are paying attention to in Seattle, I'm sure, is the Mariners and their run. It's been a lot of fun to see the crowd get into it again, potentially tacking on a second consecutive year in the postseason after ending their drought last fall. So that's Astros and Orioles wrapping up their series. Dean Kramer gets his 11th win of the season, which is awesome for the Orioles. They've got strong pitching, a great bullpen generally with Felix Bautista on the back end. And then we know what the young bats have been able to do for Brandon Hyde. All right, so in the American League, we also have, well, the East specifically, but in the American League, you've got the Guardians who are trying to make inroads there in the Central Division. As bad as the division is, it does have to have a winner. And then the Blue Jays, who don't want to lose any ground in the East.
The pitch swung on, line drive, another base hit. This is to the right of center. It's cut off by Lucas, but in to score is Naylor on his way to second. Hit first slide and a double as Rocchio beats the throw from Lucas to the right of center. And the Guardians take a 2-1 lead.
Manoah with the 1-2 pitch. Swung on, line drive, right field, base hit, maybe extras. Yes, it rolls to the wall. Tano will score. Rocchio's on his way to second. He's in with his second RBI double on the day. And the Guardians now lead it 3-1.
On Guardians Radio, I love Terry Francona for a lot of reasons, but his classic Tito following the game, because the Guardians end up winning. Actually, Noah Syndergaard gets the victory, gets the W. Alex Manoah takes the loss. But in the 7th inning, the Guardians loaded the bases with Blue Jays and ended up, that's bases loaded with one out, ended up getting out of the jam, but did allow 2 runs on 4 hits. And Francona had to wait through what was a stressful situation until the Guardians could escape.
When you win, it makes it obviously a lot more enjoyable, but I mean, I feel like I've been at the dentist since 2 o'clock or whatever. I mean, that was a long inning.
One of the things about Terry that always stands out to me is that he wears the wins, he wears the losses, and the losses obviously weigh harder on him. He is so all in. He's completely immersed in baseball. If baseball went away, Francona would, he would just die off. He would wither away. And no, he would. The man cannot retire. What would he do without baseball? He loves this game. It is everything to him. It's his identity. It's his joy, but it's also his stress. And for that reason, because he takes it so hard, he's had a bunch of health issues, or health issues that have been exacerbated by the stress of Major League Baseball. So there's the 7th inning. Takes a little extra time. They leave the bases loaded. After having them loaded with just the one out, he has to sit through it. I'm sure chomp it on something. And he says it was like being at the dentist for 8 hours.
2 o'clock or whatever. I mean, that was...
that was terrible. It was terrible.
I mean, I feel like I've been at the dentist since...
And they won. And he's still talking about how excruciating it was.
When you're my age, you're just trying to help.
We love Terry Francona. Remember the question we did a couple weeks ago, Jay, where we asked people, if you could only hear from one figure in the sports world, an athlete, a coach, a GM, a broadcaster, whatever, you could only hear from one figure in the sports world for an entire week, who would it be? Why did it not dawn on me to put Terry Francona on my list?
He's had it. We've used him a lot this week since that brawl. He's had a really good week for a post-game soundbite.
He speaks my love language. He's so funny, but a dry sense of humor. It's the sarcasm that gets me. It's like, it's obviously better if you win, but I feel like I've been at the dentist since 2 o'clock.
I mean, I feel like I've been at the dentist since 2 o'clock.
And you can just hear it in his voice. He's spent. That's it. He's out. He's out straight. He's
emotionally drained.
Yeah. Have you heard the stories? And I don't know if it's the case this year. He doesn't even bother to go home half the time. So he just gets either an apartment or a hotel room right next to the field because he doesn't want to have to take the time to go home and sleep. I hope that it's changed. But that used to be the story about Francona.
Wow.
He's so completely immersed in baseball that, I mean, it's clear it's his calling. It's clear it's his mission in life. But he can't do anything else. Without baseball, he would shrivel up. He would. Not necessarily a bad thing. I'm just saying, without baseball, he wouldn't know what to do. The Phillies get another victory on Thursday night, and they use the long ball, which is not something they've seen a ton of lately. Trey Turner has caught fire in the last 7 games. I think he's batting almost .350. So he finally is looking more like Trey Turner, and I think the support of the Phillies fans has been huge. We know that we had the Michael Lorenzen no-hitter. So they backed that up with a victory. And now they are a season-high 12 games over .500. They're playing well going into the battle with the Twins this weekend, which is important because the Twins are right now the leaders of the AL Central. And the Phillies want to keep this momentum going. They're sitting in the top wild card spot. This all, despite the fact that they'd kind of hit the skids a little bit offensively, their pitching has been good. They need Bryce Harper, though. They need Bryce Harper to be a major factor down the stretch, and he had to leave the game early after tweaking his back.
It's just day-to-day. We'll check him out tomorrow, see if he's okay.
Shaking his arm after, like, a pickoff attempt, did he complain after that?
It's his back, so it's back spasm. So I didn't see him shake his arm, but that's what it is.
Well, you're not sure. Do you think it happened on that play where he didn't necessarily feel the ball?
I don't know. I don't know where it happened. I just was told by the train, and they didn't get anything. He doesn't know where it happened, I don't think. Because they came up between innings and told me he'd stiffened up, and I said, Well, that's it then.
Pull the plug. Throw and slash. That's the end of Bryce Harper. Pull him. Give him the hook. I just love how he says that. That's the end. So fatalistic. That's the end. We're done. That's it. Zip it. We're done.
We met our end.
Why do I find such humor? I know I'm a total idiot, but whatevs. Makes for fun radio. This is one of the reasons why I use so much audio, because there's always some humor that can be found. I feel like I've been at the dentist since 2 o'clock, but that's the end. That's it. We're done. Give him the hook. Exit stage left. Okay, I'm an idiot. I know it. On Twitter, A-Law Radio. Actually, don't find me on Twitter because I don't want you to find the hideous photo of me that right now cannot be taken down. This is why I do not allow people to post photos of me unless I have veto power.
It's totally fine.
No, it's not totally fine. Stop it. It's out there and I can do nothing about it. And people are inquiring and I'm telling them I don't know where to find the photo. I'm bold-faced lying, Jay. I'm not even going to give you Facebook. Whatevs. Who cares? I'm done with social media now that my profile has been destroyed.
You are listening to the...
Hi, this is Shannon Storms-Bedore, Real Housewife of Orange County and entrepreneur. When my company, Real for Real, started selling our health products online, we struggled to ship our orders out quickly and without error. But ShipStation's simple dashboard made it easy to manage orders from every marketplace. Plus, with ShipStation, we get up to 84% off USPS and UPS rates. Automate your shipping with ShipStation. Go to ShipStation.com/audio for a free 60-day trial. That's ShipStation.com/audio.
The After Hours Podcast.
I got a lot of hungry guys on this team, and the guys that won a championship last year are obviously still hungry to go out there and go back-to-back and do that what hasn't been done in over 20 years. And the guys that haven't won are hungry to get that championship. And so you just want to make sure that you come in with that right mindset every day to know you have to continue to get better if you want to get back in that game again.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Ooh, it feels feels a bit like a football Friday. We got the music. We got Patrick Mahomes, the Super Bowl champions. We've got NFL preseason games, week one. We'll do a lot more football coming up next hour. Also, an incredible gesture by one member of the PGA Tour. And no, I'm not talking about Phil Mickelson. Actually, he's not even on the PGA Tour anymore. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So we know that the Kansas City Chiefs won the Super Bowl, right? It was an incredible battle to the very end against the Philadelphia Eagles. Some have called it one of the best Super Bowls in history. We loved it. It was fantastic. The Chiefs prevail. Patrick Mahomes is once again Super Bowl MVP. Could you imagine for a second, just picture this with me. If it had been the Chiefs against the San Francisco 49ers. Again, remember the Chiefs beat the Niners in their first Super Bowl win going back, what was it, to 2019? If the Niners made it to the Super Bowl, Brock Purdy was hurt. He had the ulnar ligament injury. Trey Lance had the broken foot. He was not going to be available. Josh Johnson was in concussion protocol, though I guess there's a chance he could have been cleared by the time they got to the Super Bowl. They were still holding out hope that Jimmy Garoppolo was going to be available, but as it turns out, he wouldn't have been with his own foot injury. Do you know who the backup plan was? The contingency. Seriously, picture this for a second. Kansas City Chiefs, San Francisco 49ers, now starting Philip Rivers. Philip Rivers! What a circus that would have been if Philip Rivers, comma, high school football coach, father of 12, or I think they're working on number 10 right now, or maybe 11, I can't remember, or lost track. He's now coaching high school football. He's been retired since the 2020 season. He's never played in a Super Bowl. Could you imagine if the Niners had pressed him into duty, had lured him out of retirement, and had thrown him out there to start in the Super Bowl? It would have been not just an extraordinary story, but it would have been his first Super Bowl. In his early 40s, after 2 years of retirement, that was the backup plan for the San Francisco 49ers if they had truly gone through four different quarterbacks. And honestly, raise your hand right now if you'd rather see an aging and out of retirement Philip Rivers than Josh Johnson in the Super Bowl. Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely raise your hand. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Seriously, this is what Kyle Shanahan dropped. He dropped it like a rock at practice. So joint practice between the Raiders and the Niners on Thursday. And yeah, he actually said Philip Rivers would have been the guy they would have tried to turn to if they'd won the NFC Championship.
He was prepared to. Yeah, now the stuff we talked about throughout the whole year. You know, we would have had to seen how that was for the Super Bowl, but that was the plan most of the year.
Wow. That blows me away. I'm not sorry we saw the Eagles in the Super Bowl. What Jalen Hurts did was amazing. The game was awesome. But come on. Could you imagine the hype train? But could you imagine the media coverage? It would have been the first time in years that I cared anything about the pre-Super Bowl coverage. All because of Philip Rivers. What an extraordinary headline that would have been.
His career is already an amazing storyline. He's accomplished so much, probably a Hall of Famer. That, if he were to do that, that's the stuff that movies are made out of.
Like,
that's a movie script.
It is. It's like The Rookie, the baseball movie.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's not just a
Dennis
movie.
Quaid.
It was a story, but Dennis Quaid was the rookie. I mean, that would have been...
That would have been one of the coolest things
Hollywood.
I think I've
yes.
seen in my life in sports. If that would have happened.
I wish I had known. I would have been praying for that.
Oh, yeah.
Well, not that Brock hurt. I didn't want Brock to get hurt. Certainly didn't want Josh Johnson to have a concussion. But if they had gone through four quarterbacks and still made the Super Bowl, that alone would have been tremendous. But to bring Philip Rivers out of retirement, out of his wheelchair, onto the football
got
field.
2 weeks to get ready.
2 weeks
it's to like, get ready. It's insane.
Damn it. Why didn't we get that in the Super Bowl? sorry, Patrick Mahomes, you would have been completely out, overshadowed.
Can that offer still stand for like this year, just in case,
Can
Phil?
Some other team?
Standby for Super Bowl, if you need me?
No doubt. So, yes, joint practices with the Niners and the Raiders. So, good friend Jimmy Garoppolo hanging out with his old mates and big smile on his face like he always does. Meanwhile, Fred Warner, one of the defenders, obviously, for the Niners, gets to play against Jimmy G again. It's like deja vu.
I'm going to be in Jimmy's ear before the play starts. I asked him, I'm like, Jimmy, just give me one, man. All I want is one. He didn't give it to me today, so we'll see how tomorrow goes. That's my guy, though. I love Jimmy. I love seeing him succeed, and he had a great practice today. So I'm looking forward to tomorrow again.
Man, he's just a stand-up guy. Jimmy's just, you know, one of the guys. He's, you know, I think he's an interesting guy because he doesn't promote himself ever, but he could. You know, he's won a lot of games. He's obviously a great quarterback who's been successful in the past and always has a smile on his face, always has a great attitude.
That's what
I just
said.
A really great guy to be around.
One of my favorite things about Garoppolo is that he is so professional. Even though the last few years were really challenging, not just the injuries, but the fact that his job was always in jeopardy. The Niners tried to quit Jimmy G. They did. Kyle Shanahan tried to get rid of him multiple times and couldn't. And when he had his number called, he still went out there and he won. And that's what he did. And that's what Shanahan was reminding people yesterday. Even though they had to move on from Garoppolo, they had Brock Purdy and Trey Lance on their rookie quarterback deals. So that was the right thing. Plus, Purdy earned the opportunity. It was right for them to finally let him go. He still meant a whole lot to the franchise.
I think Jimmy was unbelievable for us. We won lots of games. I think that was a simple question. Is there a scenario where he'll be back here next year? And I give a common sense answer, and no. I think that was a little overblown on trying to be a shot at him or anything. I mean, we knew Jimmy wasn't coming back on his standpoint and our standpoint financially and everything. So that was just the common sense answer. But anytime I've been asked about Jimmy and what he meant to us and how he was, I've never said it differently. So Jimmy was unbelievable here. I think he was the best quarterback here in about 20 years since Steve Young, has an unbelievable record. And every time he played and stayed healthy, we were either in the Super Bowl or NFC Championship game. So I hope no one insinuates I've ever said differently.
Wow, that's high praise. Best quarterback in San Francisco since Steve Young. I mean, they've had a lot of quarterbacks since then. A lot of quarterbacks since then. Interesting. By the way, the Niners suffer a bit of a blow when they lose Ray McCloud for about 2 months. He broke his left wrist. Ah, and so he's a part-time receiver, but more often the returner. But yeah, he was trying to haul in a deep pass from Sam Darnold. And apparently Sam has some zing on the football because it broke Ray's wrist. So that's a blow for the Niners. You're trying to avoid those injuries in the preseason. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on a Friday, CBS Sports Radio.
The official Winning Time podcast from HBO is back. I'm Rodney Barnes, executive producer on the show.
Magic and the Lakers are back to defend their title.
Join me as I break down each new episode with sports writer Jeff Perlman and the actors, directors, and key collaborators who brought the 1980s Showtime Lakers to life.
It's not about basketball. It's about winning.
Listen to HBO's official Winning Time podcast on Sundays after the show airs on Max.